rely on the Holy Spirit. And please write your two ordinary notes in the margin. Please take this seriously. Don't take for granted the only thing that's absolutely indispensable in the knowledge of God's Word, and then print what two words in chapter letters. Helpless dependence. Anything that stimulates my helpless dependence on the Lord is a forward step in the knowledge of God's Word. The New English Bible, I'm not too familiar with that. There is a more recent copy of the ASV 1901, which in many cases is more literal than the ASV. I'm familiar with that. But this New English Bible, or any of you especially familiar with that New English Bible, what I do generally in my life is I use the ASV as the foundation, the others, and then I have quite a lot that I've accumulated through the years, and I don't go hog wild on all the different translations, because I don't think the new one makes that much difference if you've got a lot of the past. It's pretty much the same, and one thing I use the individual translation for is for variety of expression, variety of thought, that words are avenues to thought. So I think I have that, the New English Bible, but I haven't used it enough to be able to tell you. Well, yes, the New of the New Testament, that one that I've seen, is more literal in some cases than is the ASV of 1901. Somebody gave me a copy of that, and I use it some, not very much. I still, one thing, you ought to see my Bibles over there. I've got about, I don't know, 10 to 15 copies of this through the years, and several of them don't have any back on them. The back's all gone, but I've still got quite a lot of valuable notes in there. So every now and then when I'm studying the book in the Bible, I just take down all those Bibles and see if I've got any notes from 15 or 20 years ago that will help me at the present time. Then I've got four or five copies of this in real good shape for the present. And I just want to be sure I don't run out. As you may have guessed by now, I like the ASV. On page 132, we have our faith principle. The King James Version, you know, is what some of them are. I think Mr. Wenzel is the monkey that started that one. Seek to death, avoid godly of the book as a whole. The message of Colossians is summarized by chapter 1, verse 18, that in all things ye might have the preeminence. At the very beginning of your present study, define the word preeminence. In your answer, you'll find it helpful to emphasize the difference between preeminence and prominence. Our English word preeminence comes from two Latin words. The first word is pre, which means before. And the second word is eminence, E-M-I-N-E-N-S. Eminence means to be prominent. You see, that's preeminent. Pre is before, and eminence means to be prominent. What does it mean to be preeminent? It means to be prominent before. That is, to be prominent before all others. What is the difference between prominence and preeminence? The difference is that many people can occupy prominent places in a group or in an organization, but only one person can occupy the preeminent place. I just like to paraphrase it by the word one and only, that in all things he might have the preeminence, but in all things he might be my one and only. Now, in a sense, all the letters of the New Testament give this emphasis. That's what Galatians is all about. Trust Christ only, not Christ plus something else. Trust Christ only. He's preeminent. But you'll see as we go through Colossians that in a different way from Galatians, Colossians just drives this home. Christ is preeminent. Christ is the one and only. I love to hear a husband use that expression in referring to his wife, my one and only. And I love to hear a wife use that expression in referring to her husband, my one and only. Suppose some husband were to say to his wife, dear, you occupy a very prominent place in my affection. Very prominent place. If she really loved her husband, she'd say, I don't want to be prominent. I want to be preeminent. I want to be your one and only. Satan doesn't hate you if you give Christ a prominent place in your life. And Satan doesn't hate me if I give Christ a prominent place in my life. Satan won't really oppose you at all if you give Christ a prominent place. He won't oppose me at all if I give Christ a prominent place. But oh, he'll hate us with an infernal hatred if we give Christ the preeminent place, if we make him the one and only. Students, do you realize giving Christ a prominent place can be the devil's way of easing your conscience? Somebody says, well, after all, he's a good Christian. Look at what he does. Look at what he does. And I think in essence, that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to the Ephesian church in the second chapter of Revelation. In the second chapter of Revelation, he said, you have a lot of good qualities. And oh, you read what he says to that Ephesian church. I'm telling you, they were a whole lot better than most churches you know today. But then he stopped and he said, thou hast left thy first love. That's what that first love. And I think that's just another way of saying Jesus Christ is not preeminent. Jesus Christ is not your one and only. I think one of the saddest admissions I ever read was the admission of Gandhi, the famous leader in India, Dr. Stanley Jones, the modernist, and others wrongly said that Gandhi was a great Christian. And I was watching television a few weeks ago, and somebody was quoted as thinking Gandhi was a wonderful Christian, that sort of thing. No, Gandhi wasn't a Christian, and Gandhi himself admitted that he was not a Christian. One day he made this alarming statement. He said, I cannot set Jesus Christ upon a solitary throne, because God has been incarnate many times throughout human history. That's the statement of Gandhi. I cannot set Jesus Christ upon a solitary throne because God has been incarnate many times through human history. Somebody wrote a book in answer to Gandhi's statement. We have it in the library. And the book is entitled The Solitary Throne. The Solitary Throne. That's the message of Colossians. The Solitary Throne. God has set Jesus Christ upon a solitary throne. What's the difference between prominence and preeminence? The difference is that many people can occupy prominent places, but only one person can occupy the preeminent place. And so paraphrase it like this, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that in all things he might be our one and only. Draw a simple diagram which will aid you in securing a bird's eye view of the entire book of Colossians. First, I want to give you my diagram in its most simplified form. Then I want to give it to you in slightly more detailed fashion. Here's the diagram in its most simplified form. It's just a circle with a dot in the very center of the circle. And that dot in the very center of the circle represents the Lord Jesus himself. I told you earlier that my goal is to try to get my diagram so that every one of them will just have a burning message for my life. And I've improved them through the years. They're a whole lot better now than they used to be, but they still leave a lot to be desired. But I'll be changing some of them through the years. I'm not talking about artistic beauty, you know that, but I mean the message of them. I still want something that'll grip me more and more on these, but I'm giving you the best I have at the present. But here's one I've never revised through the years. It just seems to be something, and I doubt if I ever change it. It's just the God in the very center of the circle. That's Christ in the very center of the circle. And that's Colossians. The devil doesn't hate you much if you do this. If you put Christ Jesus inside the circle. Only if you do this, or this, or this, or this, or this, or even this. But the devil hates you with an infernal hatred if you do this. If you put Christ in the very center of the circle of your life. One great value of Colossians is that it is designed to make me an on-centered Christian. It's designed to make you an on-centered Christian. Now let's review just a moment in these books that we study. We say through Romans, God is seeking to make me a complete Christian. Through 1 Corinthians, a non-problem Christian. Through 2 Corinthians, a new covenant Christian. Through Galatians, a simple Protestant Christian. Through Ephesians, an enriched ascension Christian. Through Philippians, a normal Christian. And then here's Colossians. Through Colossians, he's seeking to make me an on-centered Christian. It's one thing to have some rough edges in my life. It's another thing to be off-centered. It's one thing for you to have some rough edges in your life. Another thing to be off-centered. And I know from time to time, and oh, do I ever check myself on this? You know, I warn you students about certain things in the Christian church. And I'm constantly faced with the fact, am I wrongly critical? Oh, I don't want to be wrongly critical of Christians. But I tell you students, often when I warn you on these things, I don't warn you because I think there's some rough edges. Every Christian has some rough edges. But I warn you when I believe the thing's off-center. When I believe it's off-center, oh, that's absolutely deadly. That's absolutely deadly. And as you study Colossians, just offer this prayer to the Lord. Lord, show me everything in my life where I'm off-center. Show me everything in my life where I'm off-center. You know, one thing the devil loves to do is to put bad things in the center. But if we won't let him put bad things in the center, then he'll put good things in the center. But good things become bad things when they're put in the center. I'm going to enlarge this more next time. But good things become bad things when they're put in the center. Let me just mention one thing and I'll go over it next time. And that's prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing, but prayer doesn't belong in the center. And if I put prayer in the center of my life, then I'm off center. If you put prayer in the center of your life, then you're off center. Nothing belongs in the center but Christ himself. And one great value of Colossians is that if God checks on an eccentric life, you know how we use that word in its usus loquendi. Eccentric means somebody's very queer, very peculiar in the wrong sense. But literally, you know what eccentric means? It just means simply away from the center, off-center. And the great value of Colossians is that it's God's weapon to show me everything in my life that's eccentric, off-center, and to put me on-center, on-center. In a sense, the whole Bible does this, but not like Colossians. Not like Colossians. And I'm looking forward to going on with you in the study next time. Let's have our praise. Now we ask the Lord to write more indelibly on your hearts today these two precious verses. To me, to live is Christ. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Lord, we trust thee now to work both of those verses in us, not some later time, but this moment, both the wanting to do and the doing of thy good pleasure. And we thank thee that thou art doing it, Lord, now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.